It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer Kent. With the economy lagging and food costs on the rise, preparing a Thanksgiving meal for a big table of family and friends, that may feel overwhelming.
But what if there are ways to simplify the big dinner and simply enjoy being in the company of loved ones? Our next guests offer two different options for making the holiday manageable, fun, and affordable.
Tony Cable is the owner and operator of the Norbert and the Orville in West Bend. For years, he's been one of many volunteers behind free community Thanksgiving dinners in the West Bend area. Tony, welcome.
Kate, thanks for having me. This is great.
Over the years, the community Thanksgiving dinners you organize, they've kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And last year's event fed around 1,200 people, I understand. When do you start cooking?
We actually start cooking, I would say, the end of September or right around maybe the first week of October. It's kind of a process. As you know, turkeys take a long time to cook, and not just, you know, the 3 or 4 hours in the oven. There's a thawing process, which needs to start to happen in our refrigerators, which usually takes between 48 and 72 hours. And if you want me to get technical real quick...
Go for
it. They take, you know, 48 to 72 hours to thaw out. And then, you know, obviously we unwrap them. We season them. We get rid of the gizzards and the necks and everything else. And then we cook them breast down in hotel pans for about 3.5 to 4 hours. And we'll start that about 3 or 4 in the morning. We don't want to disrupt, you know, our regular prep service that happens at the restaurant. So we have to get in there very early every day. And, you know, if we start early October, we're cooking about 2 or 3 days a week, usually between 4 and 6 birds each day. Wow. After they come out of the oven at, let's say, 8 o'clock in the morning, then we have to let them cool because they're way too hot to handle because they're such large birds. They're usually, we usually cook our, like toms. So it'll be like 20 to 22 pound birds.
Wow.
Yeah. Once they cool down, then we can debone them. And then we have to kind of let them cool even more. You don't want to do it when they're too cool. Otherwise, your yield goes down. The meat is more pliable and comes off the bone a little bit better at the 130 to 150 range. So they're still very hot. So we double glove up. And then once we have all the bones, then we have to kind of stockpile those. We freeze them. And then as we get closer to Thanksgiving, we have these massive 8-gallon stock pots. All the bones go into those. And in order for us to use everything, which we do in the restaurant business anyway, if we can, we take all of those bones and drippings and we make our stock, which will eventually go into the gravy that we make and all of the stuffing.
Wow. So number one, my takeaway, freezers are your best friend if you're starting this process in early October.
Yes.
And you're using the whole bird.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, in our industry, if you can use as much out of a vegetable or out of an animal, the better off you are. So, and nothing beats real great turkey stock. I mean, nothing beats that. You can't buy another product that's going to produce, you know, that quality of flavor. So it's very important that we stockpile all the stock, which, you know, this year, I think we're going to end up with about 180 quarts of stock.
Oh my goodness. How did this community Thanksgiving table get started? What is that origin story?
A few years before I started mine at the Norbert. So I opened up the Norbert in 2014, and right away I wanted to do this free Thanksgiving thing. I was inspired by a woman who had kind of a similar thought process. Her name was Mary Kay von Brendel. And Mary Kay lived here in West Bend. She has since moved to Tennessee. But even after she moved to Tennessee, she came back up here and was running it.
Oh.
So I ran mine at the restaurant for about, I want to say, 6 or 7 years. And then I got a call in 2022. From Mary Kay, and she told me the story of her son being diagnosed with, I believe it was MS at the time. He has now since passed. Mm. And he was a young man. He was in his 20s. Mm. But this Thanksgiving that she was putting on with the help of volunteers and donations was going to be very difficult for her to continue to run. So she called me up and said, hey, would you consider maybe taking over what I've started, which was much bigger than the one that I was doing at the restaurant. We were only feeding about 250 to 300 people at the restaurant. And that was just, hey, we're just going to cook a bunch of turkey and put together a bunch of food. And whoever wants to come into the Norbert and eat for free that day, they can do it. What she was doing was on such a larger scale. Mm. So she asked me if I would help take over. Of course, I jumped at the opportunity because she was my inspiration. And, how could I say no to that? Mm. Besides, she was feeding so many more people. And the first thing I did was I called up one of my best friends. Her name is Kelly Sickler. And because in order to orchestrate all of the volunteering, all of the deliveries, all of the donations, I wasn't going to be able to do that alone. Mind you, I was also running two restaurants.
Yeah.
So
not enough hours in a day.
No. So Kelly and I put this together with the help of all of these wonderful volunteers. We kind of have a core group of people. I would say about 12 of them between the four churches. And that's what we do. And it's, trust me, over the next 6 days, it's just going to be insane.
Tell us about who shows up for these meals.
Everybody. I don't care if they're driving, a Mercedes or they had to get dropped off by a friend or a taxi. It is a community event. And that is, for me, that is, I don't want to say the greatest part of this because I have to admit the volunteerism and the people that come out of the woodwork for me is the best part. But a very close second is the fact that it is a community event and there's no one we won't feed. And to get all these folks together we try and make the setting as intimate as possible, which is a little difficult in a school gymnasium, but we get linens and, we've got nice flatware and plateware. I wish I could dim the lights a little bit, but there's table decorations and you're sitting at these long card tables and you're just enjoying the company of the people that you're with. That is a miracle in itself. When you walk up into that gym and it's full and, as someone who's making $1 million a year is sitting next to someone who can't afford to, anything.
Your community becomes family.
Oh, I think that's what Thanksgiving is supposed to be about. Hmm. So it's a great feeling.
Tony, thank you so much for joining us.
Of course.
Tony Cable is the owner and operator of the Norbert and the Orville in West Bend. If you want to join the community dinner, see WPR.org for details. And if you're hosting Thanksgiving at your home this year, Wisconsin Today has you covered. We turn to Patrick O'Halloran, chef and co-founder of The Deliciouser. That's a Madison restaurant and spice business. Patrick, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
Hosting Thanksgiving, it can be really overwhelming for home cooks. What's the most important thing that people should keep in mind when hosting?
Well, I think when you're hosting any kind of event or party, you want to get as much of your prep work done ahead of time. I mean, when we're working in restaurants, one of the things we do, we have our order lists and then we have our prep lists. So I would encourage people to always work off of a list and try to come up with dishes that won't keep you at the stove all day. You want things, side dishes that are ready to just pop in the oven, salads that can maybe sit a little bit. Charcuterie's become so popular over the years because it's something that you can make ahead of time. It's really beautiful and you can set that out. And I would say the same thing with a lot of Thanksgiving dinners actually happen kind of midday or in the afternoon. So I would say go with some low ABV beverages if you're with the family all day drinking alcohol. It's a long, long day. Also, I would say batching drinks is a really good one. So you have things in batches ready to go. So you want to be a host. You want to play host. You don't want to be a slave to the kitchen or to the bar side of things.
Patrick, how do you keep up with the dishes? Or what's your system for keeping an organized, clean kitchen where dishes aren't just piling up?
Well, it's the classic clean-as-you-go situation. And it's always when you have these big gatherings, you have to enlist some help. So that's a really important thing. And this is a good way to get the kids involved. Kids love to get their hands in certain dishes. And if you can get them helping with, you know, dessert prep or making cookies, or then you can show them the whole process, which includes the cleanup, which is the dreaded part of the whole operation.
Turkeys are about 40% more expensive than they were last year. Food inflation, as we see, ticking up. If someone can't afford a turkey, what alternatives do you recommend? You, I know, have a non-traditional Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I'm known for not doing turkey. So I love to do things, you know, as a restaurateur, we cherish our days off because we spend so much time in the kitchen at our jobs. So I really love, like, eating tacos or put a slow pork shoulder in the oven all day and then turn that into tacos. A lot of times when it comes to Christmas Eve, we eat spaghetti carbonara, just a really delicious dish that we love, and not traditional, but something delicious that we look forward to that is special to us as a family. But I think that, you know, with the cost of turkeys, especially if you're doing a smaller group, you can buy turkey breasts, you can buy turkey legs. You don't have to buy the full turkey unless you really need that Norman Rockwell picture.
Are there sides that you see, side dishes you see as essential, or which ones can people do without?
I mean, growing up, it was the classics. Corn, mashed potatoes, gravy, all mixed together. Probably the green bean casserole. And my grandmother was famous for Jell-Os, Jell-O molds.
Yes.
And I inherited her lengthy recipe book of all of her different Jell-O molds, which I have never made.
Oh, that's so special, though. It's really...
I might have to return to it because she really was into the Jell-O mold. But I would think, yeah, you can go with all those classics, but I lean more into this time of year using things like apples and pears. I love parsnips so much. I think they are so underrated. And that, I just said the other day, I think they're the king of the root vegetable.
How do you prepare the parsnips?
So we did a dinner Tuesday celebrating our fifth anniversary at The Deliciouser, and we used parsnips in a puree. We cooked them down with onions, garlic, and shallots, and then a lot of ginger. We have an heirloom ginger from Vietnam that's harvested in the mountains at altitude, and we made this very ginger-forward parsnip puree. And people who aren't familiar with the parsnip, it's kind of like that white carrot, a little bit starchier, but it has a tremendous sweetness. It almost kind of echoes like a sweet corn. I could see making an ice cream out of parsnips. It's just so delicious. So I'd lean into that. And of course, all the squash that are available right now. We work with networks of local farmers that we're blessed to have here in the Madison area. So little petite honey nut squash or the kabocha squash, all these different, the butternut is just a great versatile squash. I love an acorn squash. And spiced up, of course. And you can add different flavors to things, like using curries that add a little element of a roasted squash simmered in coconut cream with maybe an Ethiopian-style curry, berberi, something that has all the warm spices that you think of in the fall, but also a little bit of heat.
Is there a particular dish, though, that you think people should really try? If they do go the traditional route, is there something that they could incorporate, maybe one thing that is brand new and different that would still be a good complement to a traditional dinner?
I mean, I do think that idea of all the different roasted squash as a savory application rather than just as the pumpkin pie at the finish would be great. Also, those different squash and pumpkin varietals make great soups as a little warm course to start with. And of course, there's a huge resurgence of Brussels sprouts. Every restaurant has them, and they have gone from, you know, blanched little boiled cabbages with maybe butter on them that we had when we were children to now all these different...
Teriyaki.
Yeah, there's deep-fried Brussels sprouts that are crispy with balsamic or even with fish sauce, vinaigrette, and Thai spices. So there's so many different ways you can go with the Brussels sprout.
This all sounds so good. Quickly with desserts, what would you recommend?
I mean, the classic pumpkin pie, I kind of feel like you have to have that, I think. But, you know, the apples and the pears are so good this time of year, and there's so many different varietals. And again, we're so blessed here to have all these different orchards that we can draw some, you know, heirloom varieties of apples from. And then the apple pie is great. But you can also, if you don't have a classic pie crust, a little crumble or a crisp, something with oats on top, and you can work with the different toppings, so then you can even do gluten-free there. So I think those are all great ideas. And I know down south, the sweet potato pie is also something that, that could
indeed
find its way on the, to the table.
Oh, Patrick, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome.
That is Patrick O'Halloran, chef and co-founder of The Deliciouser. It's a Madison restaurant and spice business. And earlier we heard from Tony Cable, owner and operator of the Norbert and the Orville in West Bend. And they offer tips on how to make Thanksgiving manageable, fun, and affordable.